This week on EverBank Jaguars Weekend, coming off the bye week, the Jags are ready for the stretch run. There's a new face on defense, and we get in the film room with Doug Marone for a look at Marcel Darius. Plus, the Jags make a special Halloween visit to Wolfson Children's Hospital. All that and more next on EverBank Jaguars Weekend.
This is EverBank Jaguars Weekend. EverBank, it's your money. Make the most of it.
The first quarter, we were 2-1 and lost an opportunity, you know, and we were 2-2. And now we're 2-1 in the second quarter with a great opportunity ahead of us at home.
One more piece of business to get to before the stretch run for head coach Doug Marone and the Jags. And welcome into EverBank Jaguars Weekend. JP Shadrick with you. The Jags get the Bengals in week 9. They spent the bye week, though, getting healthy and making moves. The first move, an extension for the defensive captain linebacker, Telvin Smith.
Grateful for the organization. Happy for my family. You know what I mean? Everybody who played the part in, I'm happy for them. Just another step in life.
Stopping the run has been the question mark for the Jags on defense, so they traded for nose tackle Marcel Darius.
I'm taking that in, just trying to see exactly what they want me to do. They're not making it hard, and they're going to give me everything I possibly need to make things a smooth transition.
The time off helped the injury situation, with Leonard Fournette, Brandon Linder, and DeeDee Westbrook back on the field this week.
We got a bunch of guys on the field, got a lot of things to look at. And we got a great challenge ahead of us with Cincinnati coming in here and off a big win. They beat Indianapolis. So I'm excited to get back out there.
We welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osher. The Bengals-Jaguars game is presented by Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. And there's a lot of guys back on the field this week, at least during practice. Fournette, Linder, Cam Robinson had some time out there. That's what the bye week does. You use that week to get healthy.
Well, and it feels like they got the advantage, meaning it could have been after the London game, which it has been, and they moved it around and got it back to where it's week 8. I think it was at a good time, and what you want out of the bye is to be completely healthy, and it feels like all of that is as good as it could be. A-Rob's the only guy really out for the long term. He's the only key player. 8 weeks in, that's good.
Healthy team. And when you look at a guy like Fournette and what he means to this offense, it's clear. But Cam Robinson's availability is critical on Sunday because Dunlap and Johnson are big, long, tall guys, and they can create a lot of problems. And so to have him out there, and because he's been playing well, and that's been overlooked by a lot of people, so to have Robinson and to have the bye week to give him a chance to get healthy, he told me in the locker room this week that he spent most of his bye week right here getting ready. I mean, this is a team, I think, that knows they're healthy, knows they're getting better, knows they're pretty good. They don't want to miss it.
Robinson never missed a game in college, by the way. He was banged up a good bit at Alabama. Speaking of Alabama, Marcel Darius is now with the Jaguars. First-round pick, third overall for a reason. He's an all-pro, two-time pro bowler. That can't be a bad fit for this defense.
No, it's not, and I asked Jeff Loggeman about it because you can see where you plug in a guy who was the third overall pick in the draft and a very highly paid defensive tackle. Fixed, right? And I wondered if the expectations were too high for a guy who's just gotten here in the last week. And Loggeman said emphatically no. Loves his game. He's a big, wide body, and his strength is freakish. He can pick up and move people like few NFL players can, right? Strength on strength, this guy is stronger than most. So that will absolutely help this team's run defense.
It's a rare thing in that a midseason acquisition fits exactly what they needed. It'd be great if he could help with the pass rush. He's capable of doing that. But when you watch him, he's a guy who disrupts, who gets penetration. I always think of the way Cindric Marks was able to be in the backfield a lot when he was here from that three technique spot. But Darius is a nose, but can get that kind of penetration. The games where Todd Gurley was able to sort of dance outside and take his time and pick his spots, which is what it felt like he was doing in the second half of that game, I don't think you can do that with Darius in there.
It'll be interesting to see his impact right away, and there's more ahead on EverBank Jaguars Weekend. Jeff Loggeman sits down with head coach Doug Marone for a look at what Marcel Darius brings to this defense. Plus, defensive tackle Malik Jackson mixes it up with the quarterback in Jackson 5. And we'll see what's cooking this week on Game Day Grub. But first, Know Your Jaguars, presented by Fields Auto Group. This week we're asking the guys, what's your favorite restaurant?
Favorite place to eat in Jacksonville, I would say Rue Chris, because they have sweet potato casserole, some good steak, and you can get spicy shrimp.
North Beach Fish Camp. I think it has the best whole fried fish, is what I get every time. And then, so that's where I go to eat at least once a week.
11 South. Just, I've been there a couple of times. You know, I live over by the beach, so that place has really good food and great atmosphere. So I have to definitely go to 11 South on that one.
Probably Safe Harbor. The one up in Mayport just has great food. I was actually just talking about it not too long ago to some guys, but I think it's a nice little hidden spot, and it's really good.
My favorite place to eat in Jacksonville is Hanayuri. They have great sushi and the people are great.
For breakfast, I would go Maple Street and Metro are like 1A, 1B. For lunch, I'm a big Sun Deli fan. I also like Native Sun. They got a good hot bar. And for dinner, I would say North Beach Fish Camp.
I'd have to say Sliders, actually, which is in the Beaches area. When I went there the first time, they were like, you gotta get the seafood meatloaf. And I was like, come on, like that doesn't sound very good at all. But they were like, it's one of our most popular items. Had it, blew me away. I haven't had anything since that. It's the only dish I've had there is the seafood meatloaf.
I'm gonna shout out to the Soul Food Bistro, the Potter's House, because I love soul food. I'm from South Georgia, and that's the closest thing to my grandma cooking down here. So shout out to everybody at the Potter's House. I'll be seeing y'all this week.
Jaguars Weekend is brought to you in part by EverBank. It's your money. Make the most of it. And GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com to see how much you could save.
One thing that's been consistent in my life, I know I'm going to Buffalo and I know I'm going to be with people that I'm familiar with. And to know I'm getting a one-way ticket to my new family is a culture shock for me.
Marcell Dareus is a former first-round pick and a two-time Pro Bowler, and the Jags hope he'll bolster the run D. And welcome back to EverBank Jaguars Weekend. Of course, Doug Marrone knows Dareus very well from the Buffalo days, but what does he bring to the Jaguars? Jeff Lagerman takes a closer look in the film room with the head coach, and their conversation is presented by Cadillac.
Doug, in the bye week, you guys were able to acquire a really good football player, Marcell Dareus, and he is fun to watch on film, and I've been kind of highlighting him for a number of years.
You know, he is. Obviously, I was with him for 2 years in Buffalo, and he played extremely well. And the 1 year, he had the double-digit sacks. But, you know, he's someone that obviously has been to the Pro Bowl, has played at a high level. So, you know, we expect him to come here and play at that high level for us.
And you guys looking for help with stopping the run. And, boy, here's a couple plays in the most recent game that he played where it really shows how stout he can be.
He really is. I mean, he's, you know, 338 pounds. You know, he plays low to the ground. He can really run well. But, again, he's very difficult to move. He can take on blocks, obviously push people back, and then obviously disengage and make a play.
There's not many guys that make an impression upon me when I first see him, but he looks like he's wearing shoulder pads without shoulder pads.
You know, he's very big. He's very stout up top. I mean, you know, when you're 338, you're gonna be big somewhere. And it's funny, you know, his ankles are, you know, kind of small, but up top he's very big. And you can see how his upper body, you know, how he can just take guys and torque them or twist them and get them off.
338 pounds, but he runs. Here's a play that shows how well he runs, and it's very rare that big men can run like this.
He really can. I mean, just like this play right here, he made a play like this in practice just the other day. And, this is what he does. And, he gives great effort. You know, he's always running to the football. And you rarely see him, you know, stagnant or on the ground. You know, he can get up, chase after quarterbacks, chase after running backs. So obviously, he's a guy that just loves to play football. He does an excellent job, when he gets on the field and when he gets on the practice field.
I love the way he redirects right here. Redirects and accelerates with force.
Right, and 338 pounds is quite a bit of force.
What kind of a role do you envision for him? Obviously, newly signed, I can be the first one to say playing defensive line is not rocket science, Doug.
Well, I want to give a little bit more credit to maybe defensive end isn't rocket science. Okay. But, no, there's a lot to go on. I mean, obviously, you know, there's different gaps, different things, different pressures and all that nature. So, you know, obviously the language is quite different than what he's been used to. So we're trying to get him up to speed. You know, obviously we're going to put him in there and then, you know, see this role grow. But we're going to try to get him in there, you know, as much as we can. And he'll play both the three and the nose.
I'm looking forward to watching him play.
So am I.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys. It's time for our weekly visit with Jaguars defensive tackle Malik Jackson. He always visits with a teammate, and here's Jackson 5.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Jackson 5. Today we have an awesome guest, the quarterback from the Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles. Blake, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
That's awesome. Thanks for coming, man.
Anytime.
That's dope. That's dope. So now we know you're from Central Florida, you know, but how's it living on the Atlantic side of the ocean? Do you enjoy it?
I do. I like living on the ocean, especially the Atlantic side compared to the Gulf of Mexico side.
Yes, yes.
You know, because they just got hit by the hurricane, but I guess we got hit by the one before that. So either way, but no, I like it. I like living at the ocean. I kind of like opening up the back door and hearing the waves crash, and you know, you're a couple yards away,
yeah,
or 10 to 20 yards away from the beach. So I like being close to the water.
Yeah, that's fancy. I'm a little further back, like 30, 40 yards, but I feel them with
I'm
the...
More like, oh. I'm 30, 42.
Opening your doors, feeling that breeze, and just looking at it, it's calming, and it matters.
Definitely.
So now as you are a Central Florida guy, like we said earlier, you know, being in North Jacksonville, which is about, 2 hours away,
mm-hmm,
is it a good or bad thing that your family's so close?
You know, it's perfect because it's close enough to where, like, they can come visit, mm-hmm, or I can go see them, but, like, it's far enough away to where, like, they have to call me first. Like, they can't just show up.
Mm-hmm.
So it works out good. You know,
yeah.
'Cause I enjoy seeing my family, but I also need a little bit of time to be by myself.
I feel you. You know, it can't be too close to where people just showing up.
Right.
Or, you know, but you have to call when you let me know you're coming.
I need to know.
But the house is locked. You can't get in. Another Central Florida questions. We know you went to the University of Central Florida. How about those Knights? How you think they're doing so far?
They're killing it, man. I actually went to the game last week on our bye week. They played Austin Peay. I got no idea where that's at, but they beat them like 70-21.
Oh, wow.
So they're killing it, man. Scott Frost has got them rolling, so high-powered offense doing good.
You think you're going to stay there? I heard some people said that he might be taking the other Florida job.
I hope so.
You think he's
at the best school in Florida right now, so I think he could stay there for at least a couple more years.
The best school in Florida, huh?
Yeah.
Miami might have something to say about that.
Yeah, Calais talks about it all the time.
Yeah. I told Calais Miami hasn't been relevant since 2000, so
right,
it doesn't matter. Can you tell us about your foundation and just what's it called, what's it represent?
Yeah. So my foundation is the Blake Bortles Foundation, and I started it after my rookie year, so 2 years ago, and it's to support mentally and physically disabled people, and then first responders as well, firefighters, policemen, paramedics, kind of all that. So I grew up like being coached by cops and firefighters. Like, they always coached our Pop Warner teams, so they were kind of like the guys I grew up looking up to. And then, you know, I had a chance to be in this thing called the Challenger Football League, which is mentally and physically disabled kids playing flag football. So that kind of got me involved in that, and those were the two areas that I was passionate about and wanted to be able to help out.
We're 4-3. You know, we're doing pretty well. Do you get to enjoy this season? Are you enjoying it? You know, what's different?
To be involved in, you know, it's kind of like my draft class. Like with Telvin, we all got here, you know, 4 years ago. This is our fourth year. So to go through some of that stuff and winning three games, winning five games, winning three games, you know, it's tough because nobody really, you know, everybody's used to winning. They won in college or they won at some level of football. And to come to the NFL at the highest stage and not be able to perform as well as you like or, you know, have the results you like, it's tough. You know, I think it's a lot of adversity. And I've said this before, but I think, you know, a lot of guys that went through that together, I think that has made us stronger and has, you know, I think helped contributed to kind of what we're being able to do this year. Obviously, with some new additions like yourself and Calais and Jalen getting brought in, I think that's obviously been a huge help as well. But I think to go through that and endure that, I think makes us all tougher and better people. And I think, you know, for me, it's exciting to go through this and enjoy it. You know, see everybody having fun. We're winning football games. And I think it just drives, you know, myself and I think all of us more to let's make this consistent. Let's make it feel like this all the time. Let's make it feel like this for the next couple of years.
I agree with you. Going 3-13 last year was hard.
Oof.
But now that we're winning again, it definitely feels special, and I just want to keep it going.
No doubt.
I just want to say thank you, Blake Bortles, man, for coming out, man.
You,
really
man.
Appreciate you. Thank you guys for watching Jackson 5. See you guys next week.
There's still more to come on EverBank Jaguars Weekend. The Jags bring a special Halloween celebration to children battling illness.
Hey, you can't block me! You can't block me!
I left!
You can't block me!
Shut up. Telvin Smith signed a new deal last week. More of this for the foreseeable future for the Jags. Check out the full Mic'd Up segment each week on Jaguars.com. Welcome back to EverBank Jaguars Weekend. It's time to get into the kitchen for Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. This week, Angie Buscelli and Chef Tony have a unique dish for the return home.
Welcome to Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. I'm here in a Dreamfinders Homes model in Longfield Preserve, which is a natural gas community, and we're cooking up some yumminess. Chef Tony, what have you got for us?
Hey, today, you know,
really, really popular thing has hit the grocery stores. We're replacing the everyday rice with something healthier. We have cauliflower rice today. We're going to do a pork fried cauliflower rice over in the wok. So if you bring that bowl,
I got
walk
it.
This way, Angie.
Come on.
We'll make it happen.
Go ahead. Right, how much you want of this?
All of it. Go ahead and put it in.
Perfect.
Awesome. So we're going to let this start to cook down some. Right, we're going to go ahead and start the stir fry action in the pot.
Now, what oils did you put in there? Because that is key.
That's awesome. That's a great question. It's grapeseed oil for the high heat, sesame oil for the seasoning, for a little bit of that taste that we're going for.
It already smells nutty.
Well, what's great about this is you see what we want on the wok is the heat to come up the sides.
Okay.
And again, this natural gas is providing us this even heat as it comes up the side of the wok. We have a clean flame underneath. We're not getting any kind of extras off of it. Just a wonderful burning fuel for cooking. So now as it starts to warm up, I want you to add our onion.
Awesome. Flavoring this.
Our garlic.
All of it?
All of it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, okay. I'm gonna get that down. And our peppers right there.
All right.
Now we're gonna cook this till it becomes a little bit of fragrant. How long does that take? 1 to 2 minutes. Really depends upon what it is.
So it cooks super fast.
It does. I'm gonna put a little well right here. Just in there, I'm gonna grab my eggs. Drop those in, and I'm going to start scrambling them up, just like this.
So you're basically making a fried rice with this cauliflower.
That's exactly what we're doing. If you'll grab our pork here, we're using mojo pork.
Okay.
Right in, our peas and our cilantro.
Guys.
We'll finish with a little bit of soy sauce or amino acids, again, something a little bit healthy, and some bean sprouts.
I can't believe how fast this is.
Well, we'll cook this up. Get it to get warm everything through at this point, and we'll be good to go. And that's our fried rice.
Delicious.
Excellent.
For the pork fried cauliflower rice recipe and a look at all the Game Day Grub segments, make sure you visit peoplesgas.com/cooking. Earlier this week, the Jaguars made sure patients at Wolfson Children's Hospital had a Halloween to remember. Ashlyn Sullivan has more in this Baptist Health Beat.
On Halloween afternoon, the Jacksonville Jaguars roam the halls of Wolfson Children's Hospital, doing some trick-or-treating with the kids. The Jags visited 3 floors of the hospital, passing out pumpkins full of candy to all the young patients. Players said they couldn't think of a better way to spend their Halloween.
It's something that's so simple for me to do, and it means so much to these kids, so it's a no-brainer.
Jaguars offensive lineman Patrick Omame has visited Wolfson Children's Hospital a number of times. However, he says especially on Halloween, no child should have to spend it in the hospital.
You think about being a kid, in the hospital on Halloween, and, being a kid in the hospital in general, it's just, certain things that, especially for kids, you don't think they should have to go through, experience, and anything that you can do to brighten their day or, just put a smile on their face. I like to jump at the opportunity.
Judging by the children's faces, they will have a fun, not scary Halloween, thanks to the Jaguars. For Jaguars Weekend, I'm Ashlyn Sullivan.
Thanks, Ashlyn. Up next, a look ahead to the stretch run. Stay with us on EverBank Jaguars Weekend.
I'm happy. They lay it. You feel me? I'm rich. It's enough that everybody can just go Google my name and it come up. So I don't think it's too much more I need to say.
Telvin Smith agreed to a big deal during the bye week, and it's a big step for this Jaguars defense in the future. Down the line here, welcome back to EverBank Jaguars Weekend. The first game he'll play after the new deal is in teal. It's teal time for the Jags.
Good rhyme there, by the way. It's fine. I mean, the fans have been waiting for this. There are fans who attach themselves to teal. I'm not a huge uniform color guy, so I've had the teal shirt this week. It's a lot of fun, and I think fans are going to enjoy it. Cool.
You love a free shirt, don't you?
The free shirt is the big deal for me.
So I'm a little different. I am attached to teal because it was the primary color. To me, it's the identity. You've got aqua for the Dolphins. They're the only team that has it. Powder blue for the Chargers, the only team that has it. And everyone else kind of, mixes and matches different shades of the same color. Teal's the Jaguars' color. No one else has it. It should be a primary color. Should be.
We'll see if the Jags can move the ball in teal. This Bengals defense is among the best in the NFL. Starts up front. They have good players at all three levels here.
They do. In particular, when you look at this defense up front with Geno Atkins and Pat Sims. Big guys. It's critical to have Brandon Linder back in. We talked about Cam Robinson with Johnson and Dunlap on the outside. With Sims and Atkins on the inside, getting Linder back this week is equally as large.
Well, and what's interesting is the last two teams the Bengals have played have been able to run the ball on a little bit, much more than you would think with those guys in the middle. If the Jaguars can do what the Steelers and Colts did to the Bengals, I think this is an easy victory for the Jaguars.
We'll see if the Jags defense can keep something going against this Bengals offense. Dalton, Green, we know the names over there. They haven't run the ball well in Cincinnati.
No, it's a huge issue, and that's the good news for the Jaguars as well. 3.2 a carry for the Bengals so far. They haven't felt like they're much better than that. If this team can stop the run, which you would think with Darius they can this week, then again, a lot of matchups favor the Jaguars this week. The question is, can the offense score and take advantage of this matchup?
So the reason that they're not running the ball, their offensive line, they lost two starters in free agency, they're not playing very well.
Bengals Jaguars, presented by Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. We'll see you next week on EverBank Jaguars Weekend.